So I heard the power went off in here too. Apparently it went off on the whole block. So, but then it's back. So anyway, I get often asked, like, the sound in here has been tricky lately. Does some of y'all have trouble hearing in here? And it's because every time that power does that, we get these power surges. It knocks something else out. So right now one of these speakers isn't working. I don't know which one though. So we'll figure it out, right? We'll do it. This is the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. I'm going to read that. And really, it's not to read what happens on Pentecost. What happens on Pentecost is that the Holy Spirit comes, and the church is born, and things are made new in and around Jerusalem for these young Christians. But what I want to focus on is what Peter talks about. Peter is going to give a sermon, and in that sermon, he's going to use the word vision. And so vision, what the church is supposed to be, what our vision for our life together is, that's been part of the church since the first day. And really, that's what our sermon is about today. So this is Peter at Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. One other thing. Peter's going to say something about the people being drunk. And that's because when Pentecost happened, the Spirit, people were so on fire that people thought that they were drinking wine in the morning. So they get confused. So Peter's going to set the record straight. All right. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. And he said, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A wonderful quote from the prophet Joel, spoken by Peter on that Pentecost day long ago. This is, by the Holy Spirit, the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, may your Holy Spirit be near us this day, that we, each and every one of us, might catch a vision and dream a dream of the kind of disciple, the kind of life of faith that we might be and might live. Be with us, O Lord, as we consider your word this day. For these things we pray, in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. What we have in our text today is a moment which Peter finally gets it right. If you followed Peter in any of the Gospels, he's usually a hot mess. He's usually prone to saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. But here, finally on Pentecost Day, with the Holy Spirit, he gets it right. He preaches this sermon, and if you want to go home and read it, it continues through the end of the second chapter. It's quite a wonderful bit of scripture, really. He preaches this sermon, he makes this speech, and he finally gets it. And he gets it right, I think, because he's not focusing on critiquing the world in the moment that it is. He gets it right because he is completely focused upon the future. His focus here is upon vision, on what, with God's help, that first church, and by proxy, we might all become, on where we are going, on where we hope to arrive. Now, if you look up vision in the old-fashioned dictionary, or if you look it up online, the first entry there is the ability to see. And that makes sense, that would be the first entry for vision. But that's not the kind of vision I'm talking about today. What I'm talking about is what I think Peter is talking about. And that's the second entry in the dictionary for vision, which is the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. The ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. In the infant church, like the first day of the church, this is already what Peter is after. He quotes prophet Joel, an ancient and amazing source who says that with the Pentecost gift of the Holy Spirit, that the young and old alike will have visions about what can be. So this week, my daughter asked me what I was preaching about. I said vision. I said, what do you think of vision? Have you ever talked about that at school? And she told me that last year, as a 10th grader, she and her classmates were required to make a vision board. Anybody here ever made a vision board? A couple folks? Yeah. Mixed media presentations or something that sort of says, this is where I think my life should be heading. With the gifts that God has given me, this is where I think I want to go. And then this week, I was with a couple who's getting married later this fall. And one of them said to me, as we were talking about their hopes for their marriage, he said, well, hope needs a plan. Yeah, hope needs a plan. I can hope to lose weight, right? Or I can actually, right, get on a diet and go to the gym. Which one of the things is going to work? Hope needs a plan. I would say vision needs a plan, too. We have to know where we want to go in order to make the proper choices to determine if we are on the right path. That's true of us as individuals. It's true of our families. It's true of communities. And it certainly is true of churches like ours. So, what's the vision board that you have? Your vision plan for yourself, at least when it comes to your faith, not just your career, your faith. If you were to say, where do I want to be as a disciple of Jesus down the road? What would you put on that vision board? What's your vision for your faith, like Peter preached about long, long ago? And as he talked about vision that first Pentecost day, so too are we still talking about vision today. What's the vision that we have for the life of faith, who we are today, and who we want to be in the future, as individuals and even as a church? That leads me to Psalm 25. Psalm 25 is one of the most beautiful canticles found anywhere in the Bible. It's absolutely gorgeous. But I like verses 4 and 5 the most because they have an implied future tilt to them, right? Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and for you I wait all the day long. The psalmist knows that there's some destination to where he is supposed to arrive, and he's willing to follow where God will lead. If we individually as a church family are not longing for the ways of the Lord, then I have to wonder, what exactly are we longing for? The choice is stark in its urgency. If we are not living for the Lord, who will keep us safe even beyond death itself, then what are we living for? If we're not serving the Lord, then who are we serving? And I mean that seriously, because everybody's serving something. If we're not serving the Lord, then who are we serving as individuals, as a family, or as a church? Because wealth, in the end, does not protect us. Neither does power. Neither does fame. No, in the end, it's only the grace of God and the devotion to our Lord which carries us into life beyond death. And our vision should be ruled by a devotion to grace, the grace of God, and a fundamental commitment to living our days as disciples of the Maker of the world. And this is where worship comes in. Each of these Sundays of the next month, we'll have different sort of areas of focus. You're going to hear from Lovell in just a few minutes, and I really want you to listen closely to what he's got to say about how worship has impacted his life here at White Memorial. It's going to be wonderful. I know it will be. Right, Lovell? Maybe the power will go off. Maybe the power will go off on you. If it does, just keep going, all right? That's where worship comes in. We come here each week to be recharged, to be re-energized, because our devotion and our dedication grow the more often we are able to worship together, energized by prayer, inspired by music, and hopefully focused at least a little bit on preaching. Each and every week, we have the opportunity to do that. 52 weeks a year, 3 times a Sunday, to say nothing of witness to the resurrection services and other wedding services. It's a big commitment around this place. And I'm convinced that the more often we are in these spaces together, the more our faith grows collectively and the sharper our vision becomes. The way the Directory for Worship, which is part of the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church, puts it is like this. It says, quote, God acts with grace. We respond with gratitude. God claims us as beloved children, and we proclaim God's saving love. God redeems us from sin and death, and we rejoice in the gift of new life. This rhythm of divine action and human response found throughout Scripture, human history, and everyday events shapes all of Christian faith, life, and worship. Do you hear that? the rhythm of divine action and human response. That's really what worship is about each and every week. Whether we are inspired to be here, or a little bit sleepy, or the power goes off, it doesn't matter. That rhythm of divine action and human response, that's what this is all about. And so our devotion to God being part of that rhythm must be part of any vision we can imagine for ourselves. Our vision boards should be filled with words of devotion about growing in faith and dedication to the God who made us and then saves us. It's probably Proverbs 29 which gets to the point most directly. It says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, we can read this literally, as in biological life. But the proverb itself is not literal. It's poetic. It's metaphorical. It says basically that if we don't have vision, our souls will wither, and soon we cannot determine what we are supposed to be doing. And when we don't know what to do, we lose sight of who we are and who we are supposed to become. Where there is no vision, dreams and hopes can perish. And what is a human being without some dreams and hopes? Better yet, what's a church without dreams and hopes? What's a church without a vision? And so knowing that, and knowing that vision needs a plan, White Memorial embarked a little over 18 months ago to write a vision plan. And it has since been not only adopted, but it's been enacted in some ways. It's called Be Thou My Vision, and it's available to any of you on the front page of the website. Or if you don't like websites, you can call the church office and we'll mail you one. Or if you're here on October 22nd or October 29th, we're going to give you an executive summary in your bulletin. Because these days you can't have a strategic plan or a strategic anything without an executive summary. You've got to have that. So we're going to hand you one if you're here on the last two Sundays of the month. And we have taken many steps to begin to enact this vision. But you're going to take a really important one today following this worship service. When this worship service is over, we're going to stay and listen to the postlude. And the reason why is, one, it's beautiful, and two, that will give the folks down at On Point time to get here. And then you're going to hear from my friend Rick White over there. He's going to raise his hand, right? And Rick's going to make a motion for you all to elect a new associate pastor for small groups and young adults and small groups. And that's really important, because this is in direct response to this plan, which calls us to have re-engaged and re-energized small group ministries, groups of folks that meet to pray together, groups of folks that meet to read books together, groups of folks to study the Bible together, little groups within this large church family where your faith can be touched and you can help one another grow in devotion to the Lord. The vision plan's big, it's long, it's got four main parts. It's got a vision for worship, it's got a vision for Christian formation, it's got a vision for outreach, and it's got a vision for engagement. Overarching goal of engagement, that folks who are part of this church would be engaged in their faith and grow as individuals and help us grow as a church. And so the call today is to come to church, to join a small group, to be part of a Sunday school class, to be part of the music program, join a Bible study. Once again, like I did 4 weeks ago, if there's someone you haven't seen here in a while, invite them back. Tell them about the growth you've had. Encourage them to return. Families, single people, older adults, anyone. If you haven't seen them for a while, invite them back. Because it's vision which allows us to have an idea of where we are going and about who we are. Worship, each and every week, adds to vision. It does. And we cannot have worship services. We can't have these moments of devotion to God without all of us doing our part. That means coming. That means supporting the church budget. Either return your pledge card or do it online. We can't have music ministry for children and adults or pastoral leadership without your support. Like I said, it's a big commitment, 52 Sundays a year. And each week we are a beacon of hope, week in and week out. And like I said, hope and vision need a plan. So whatever your personal faith vision board might be, it will be emboldened by the worship of our church. So invite others to come. Listen deeply to the words of the hymns. Listen deeply to the words of the songs. When Kate prays in a few moments, listen deeply to the prayer that she prays. And like I said, when Lovell stands up to give his testimony, listen deeply to what he's got to say today too. You see, the thing about White Memorial is that we have thousands of people here through week. We do. I mean, from Monday to Friday and then Sunday, like, there are thousands and thousands of people here each and every week. The only time when it's kind of quiet around here is Friday afternoon. That's the only time that there's never a problem finding a parking place. That's true. We need your help. We need the funding so we can live into the vision that we have discerned to generously continue to support this ministry to become the best version of the church that we can be. That's how Peter started off on Pentecost long, long ago. He prayed and he preached about vision. And so I think vision at the very start of the life of the church, and even now in the life of this church, is core. It's core to who we are to become. And without vision, we just spin our wheels like a car that's stuck in the mud. But with it, amazing things are possible. How amazing? Well, think about what that first church did. They had no money, they had no resources, they had nothing. And yet, here we are. They started with vision, and here we are, these thousands of years later, churches up and down this road, churches all throughout this city, all throughout this world. They built the church from the ground up. That's the story of the book of Acts. It really is. And that story is one about light over dark. It's about spirit over all things. And it is the testimony of the church. And the church really is only made up of its members. It's members and belongers, the individuals that come, that participate. And so to live into the vision, we need all of us to do our part so that we can engage more people in the life of faith and we can grow as disciples of the Lord of light and life. That was true the first sermon ever preached by Peter long ago. It's also true today, thousands of years later. So we join Peter and we say, thanks be to God for the gift of vision, for the opportunity to join in and give our very best to bolster the work of the church in the world. Because where there is a church with a vision, there is hope for the world. Thus it was, and thus it always shall be. And this is why vision is an essential part of all Christian life and the nature of every church. Thanks be to God, friends. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And good luck with those vision boards. Amen. Again, with our thanks to Rick and our joy for Ann and Aaron and for the continuing journey, my friend, welcome in a whole new way, whole new way. Go from this place to see visions, to dream dreams. Each and every day is an opportunity to go out and discover a little more of what God has in store for you. Perhaps that is the point of the Christian life, is to take a step more closely to that goal each and every day. So may your visions be pure, may your strength be full of courage, and may you go from this place with love, this day and always, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.